One guy that people will never be embarrassed about, he, on no one does it single-handedly, but Lou Lamoriello on many occasions has told me that he gave David Conte complete rein to draft the New Jersey Devils for a long, long time. And if you go back and look at their draft record from when it started in the 90s and they got Niedermeyer and Rolston and Brodeur and on and so many players every year. Most teams like to get one or two guys. David Conte, year after year, is getting three or four guys that were playing 600 games. He joins us now. David, I was going back through your numbers, and it was amazing how many legitimate NHL players you were able to unearth over an 8-year span. What was the secret to your success?
I think we work with a lot of good people, and I try not to think about it and worry about more the next one than the last one.
Okay, and that's fair. And no one's ever going to hit on everything, of course, especially because there's only so many openings anyway in your lineup. There's not that much overturning. But do you ever feel like you're on a hot run when you're a scout at all?
I think circumstantially, in any given year, things can fall in place. And you know that this year is better than other years. And then there's other years that you know are perhaps more mediocre. And there's other years that you could feel very devastated. For example, one year and a long time ago, we had Jeremy Roenick and Teemu Selänne and Rod Brind'Amour pegged perfectly, like 2, 3, 4, and we picked 11, and they went 8, 9, 10.
Wow!
And it was a considerable drop off to the next player in terms of the value we had for them. So these things can happen. It's every year is circumstantial. Every year is luck. But if you do your homework over the long haul, I think you should probably be all right.
David, do you believe that scouting in the last 10 to 12 years has become way more competitive than how it was in the 90s?
Absolutely. The computers, the size of the staff, the investment that some teams wisely put into it, and the lack of investment some teams don't put into it. But for the most part, absolutely. People really work very hard at this, and they use every avenue they have to help themselves, from physical tests to psychological tests. In fact, I think sometimes there's a bit of a movement by some general managers to limit people from investing in it, which is research and development, which may be the only thing that can give your team an advantage in today's salary cap world.
David Conte joins us from the New York Rangers. Yeah, the salary cap world.
New Jersey Devils.
Sorry about that. I was just reading. Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely not the team you want to
no
be compared to.
Here, please.
Dave, for you now, you were the head scout for a long time. Now you're the director of hockey operations, executive vice president. You're still overseeing all the scouting. As the scouting has become more competitive, how have you had to change to try to stay ahead?
Well, I think try to do the same things we've always done. I don't know necessarily about changing. I think it's just to read the trends of a given year, and some years there's different pockets that merit greater attention than other years, and that's circumstantial too. If we're one cycle of maybe Finland that's really hot, or Sweden that's really hot, or the U.S. development program, and I think it's just recognizing that and the swings of it. For example, last year, in fact, Major Junior League was a hotbed of profile prospects for sure. But to change, no, I think it's one of the secrets that we do have or have had is continuity, where I have a very good understanding of what the people that work with me are saying, and I think they have a very good understanding of what I'm asking from them. It's not a moving target. We're not reinventing the wheel or the process every year. We're just trying to work hard and be thorough about the process.
David, as scouting has become more competitive, we've seen players improve. They're becoming more professional at a younger age as far as how they train, how they eat, and all those sorts of things. Has that made it harder? Is there a smaller gap between the good players and the guys who are right on the cusp, and there's maybe more potential players to be NHL players than there was 15, 20 years ago?
Oh, I think so. I think the techniques that coaches and strength coaches and general advances in nutrition and discipline and hockey schools and personal trainers, I think it's really helped the average player to help. Well, it stops us from sometimes identifying the great player. The neutralizing effect of the fourth liner is far greater than it might have been 15 years ago. The dominance of the first line player is certainly far less than it was 15 years ago.
Yeah, and that's, is that good for hockey, or does it make your job harder?
Makes our job harder, and I don't necessarily think it's good that at a young age that we're so technical and analytical that the game stops being fun for them, because not many pro players come out of youth hockey, but the sophistication of a Pee Wee team right now is pretty significant.
Yeah, it's funny about the technical side you talk about, David, because, you know, I've had a lot of coaches on here recently. We had Zach Parise tell me he thinks that coaching's on the verge of ruining hockey because it's too technical and that you're taking out the creativity out of players. Have you noticed that you watch, there's a lot more guys maybe who skate fast and can get to an area but can't necessarily do something when they get in the right position?
Without being critical or specific, and I love Zach, and I think Zach's right on the money, and I totally agree with what he says. I think this game is sometimes might be better without the structure, but we all want to win, and coaching does help you win. If it's the detriment of the entertainment value, it is, but they're doing what they need to do to sustain a winning environment, and to do so is the hard work that they put in is phenomenal. I mean, the amount of hours they spend, is it analysis by paralysis or paralysis by analysis? you're not allowing yourself to grow. And I think in a lot of cases, if the right coaches sort of understand at the end, it's mano a mano and it's player, not coach and coach. So it's a very fine line, and I really don't have an answer for you. I wish I did, but in time, it's a frustrating thing in every regard, because you know they're doing their very, very best, and you know your team is prepared as well as they can be prepared in terms of systems and tactics and conditioning. But, you know, are they in the best? Are we taking the best out of them by restricting that creativity that Zach might have referred to?
David Conte, the executive vice president of the New Jersey Devils, also a director of hockey operations and scouting, joins us. David, every year, you know, there's more and more, I find, independent draft places putting out draft guides and stuff.
You noticed that.
Yeah. Do you check other people's opinions, or do you really only focus on what you and your scouting staff has?
I read everything.
Okay.
And I base my opinions only on my staff.
Okay.
But I use everything possible to see if we're missing something. So if we have a player that's nondescript on our list that's highly regarded by any source, I'll research it with the people that I trust and work for me, and that I pay, that are on the payroll, because they're the ones you can hold accountable. So for sure, I don't consider them irrelevant, and I don't consider them incompetent. But the fact remains, all of these services have a lesser budget to do their jobs than I have to do mine.
How much has video made scouting? Do you find, does it make it more accurate? Or does it sometimes make you analyze too much?
I think it probably too much. It's very hard to pick up too much. It's a little bit of a support. It can give you a familiarization. You know, we do use it. I can't say we don't. I think sometimes we can spend too much time, you know, watching, you know, Rogers about picking up games that we're not at. I do feel like to make a serious decision that has serious impact, you need to be there in person. And you need to have a feel for the situation, because you don't see everything on the video. Does it help? Sure, it can help. But there's only so many hours that we can devote to doing this job. I think we need to devote them wisely and to pertinent information, and to get people's opinions that are really relevant and who are accountable to those opinions.
How much, and I don't know if you can even give me a ratio on this, when you compare to how many games you watch for a player to how much tape you'll watch. Do you need, like, to see 20 live games?
I would love to get it. That's one of the problems now with hockey, is that expansion at every junior level, expansion in college, the emergence of European countries that didn't really have impact before, Switzerland, Denmark, you know, the breakup of the Soviet Union. Now it's Czech and Slovakia, not Czechoslovakia. So that, yeah, it makes it much more difficult, because there's more and more teams, there's less and less weekday games, and there's no more weekends. So the difficulty and the logistics of traveling to cover all that has made the individual coverage of a player much more difficult than it used to be. And that does impact your productivity and your accuracy, because – you're guessing more on lesser information. You know, you're speculating more on lesser information as opposed to maybe really knowing a player really, really very well when there was half the junior teams.
Yeah,
and
that's why I guess now you have to increase your scouting staff. But as you increase your scouting staff, David, I'm sure it increases differing opinions. You want different opinions. Let's say when the New Jersey scouting staff comes together and guys sit around the table and they debate, for argument's sake, let's say Aaron Ekblad, just to use a name that our audience is aware of. How different do you want the opinions, or does it show maybe that a person isn't in line with what the New Jersey Devils are looking for?
We do it slightly different. We all do reports every game we go to. We add them all up and compare them, and I try to create a formula, and then I ask them what's wrong with this. I don't really think debating with each other is fruitful because you all see different games and you see different amounts on different players. So, for example, people that you don't send everybody to the World Junior, well, the ones who were there had a weighted opinion of Aaron Ekblad, for example. I'd rather go about in a more constructive manner about who is the individual each person would want, and then that determination, I guess the next step is me, and then the next step is Lou to validate what I recommend.
David Conte joins us from the New Jersey Devils. Fascinating stuff, David. Always appreciate having you on. The overall, for you now, the New Jersey Devils will be selecting 30th due to the penalty handed down by the National Hockey League. So that changes it. You've had a lot of success late in first rounds. Obviously, you go way back to the Scott Niedermeyer. You had some great success early on in a round. Is it more work when you're drafting in the middle because there's so much more that can happen in front of you? Like, I'm guessing you probably have to prepare for a much larger pool, so you have to do more work than if you're drafting in the top five.
Oh, absolutely. It was an easy night's sleep with picking third. Picking O'Brien Walston was a little more difficult. You know, it's and each way you go down farther. Generally speaking, if you're in that 20 to 30 range, you get a player that's in your, 15 to 20 range. If you're picking, the hardest picks I really think are probably the 6 to 15, because there's a lot of consensus because of all these reports, a lot of pressure people feel. I appreciate your compliments of our record. It also gives me a little bit more courage that I don't feel I'm ever going to be overly criticized because I'd be given the benefit of the doubt. Other people that are trying to establish from success in their position with their teams, that influence is certainly would bear, as it bared on me in the beginning.
Interesting that you mentioned 6 to 15, because the number 6 draft pick historically in the NHL has had a lot of failures from a lot of different organizations. And I don't know if every year there's, a drop-off point at that number 6, but it's interesting that's the number you started at, David, because we were looking through the history of the number 6 draft pick, and there's been a lot more flameouts than successes there for whatever reason.
Probably circumstantial, but for sure, although I would really like to try that.
Yeah, you'd want to take a shot at the number 6 every year?
I'd really be very happy to exchange places, and, I'd certainly buy them lunch. That would be a wonderful, picking 6, you certainly get a better player than if you're in your list as you're picking 10. But you're right, once you get in that middle range, though, it's a lot. There's a lot more variables where you have to consider a lot of things. And for that reason, I'm never really critical of what people do, because I know all of my competitors work very, very hard at this and do everything they can to get all the information can. And a mistake they might make is the same mistake I might make. So I know how difficult it is. And, I hopefully a lot of mistakes are made before I get my turn this time of year. But not to wish them ill, I know I really know how hard people work. You only have to go to some of these tournaments that we go to see the investment teams put into it and the effort that the scouting staffs are putting into watching the games and to see in the dead of winter, it's not a fun trip, driving from Regina to Saskatoon.
David, one last one for you. As the executive vice president now, director of hockey operations, you look at scouting and how imperative is it for an organization to ensure, okay, if we're drafting this player, let's say 5th overall, the difference between him and maybe 3 others might be on a scale of 100, only 1 or 2 points at the age of 18. So there's a lot of things that could make him go up or down. What is the, how responsible is the organization after you've drafted a player to ensure you're doing the right things to let him develop? How much is that challenge from going to scouting to then the guys who are in charge of developing him?
Well, that's a, it's certainly a three-pronged thing, from development to coaching to drafting. It's all important, and your strength coaches are important. Your PR people are important for how they monitor certain things, and what you do with them is it's great. Unfortunately, the teams have had a lot of restrictions on them as part of the CBA that do curtail you doing the most you can for that player. And in turn, they've been there in the hands often of their own subsidized personal trainers and others, which is not necessarily in the best interest of the team because they don't really have control over it or know what they're doing, you know, or have authorized the expertise of that person to develop them better. And most times and sometimes it's all very positive, but, you know, as a purist, I'd rather have them be in the control of our team, not on outside sources. And we are exposed all the time because your players could play for a lot of different teams while under contract from you, from Team Canada Juniors to the World Championships and so on and so forth. Perfectly correct to support all those things, but yes, as a team, it is a concern. Some injuries, you know, the medical response to those injuries, if you have those, and there's a lot of variables. You know, we can only have a player for 1 week in the summer. I don't know where that's productive for the player or the teams, but it's the rule.
David, outstanding stuff. I wish we had more time. I really appreciate talking to you. We'll have to do it again. Enjoy the next few weeks. I'm sure you and your scouting staff will have a lot of fun debates.
Not a lot. We've sort of done that already. They aren't playing anymore, so they can't get better and they can't get worse.
That's a good point.
But we do look forward to the draft. It's always an exciting day for us. It's really the only game we get to play and be front and center, and we do look forward. We hope we will do well, and we hope you guys enjoy covering it.
Well, we will. I appreciate it again, Dave.
You're more than welcome. Anytime.